Welcome to Community Forum, a weekly call-in program produced at the studios of KSKA. Opinions expressed are those of the guest, host, and callers, and do not represent the views of KSKA, the licensee, or the underwriters. And now, the host of Community Forum, Nellie Moore.
Good afternoon. It's a chilly day in South Central Alaska, but we're warm in the studio. Kristen is busy working in there, and Connie's in the back room. We're going to have a good show today. My guest is, can't call you acting anymore, right? Well, I could
call
you acting.
Well, I think that is the formal title, acting mayor.
At this point, you're in there. Mayor Matt Clayman, how are you today?
Very good. Glad to be here.
And you took your oath of office over the weekend?
On Saturday morning.
And you'll be in office as acting mayor until July, but election will be held in April.
Exactly.
To choose Mayor Begich's successor.
Right.
Okay. I think we have that straight.
Right.
Let's talk a little bit about Matt Clayman, the person. We haven't. I read your biography, but let's talk about a little bit about what you've done in the past.
Well, where do you want to begin?
Let's see. In first grade, were you really bad or no? We were just talking. You said you were born on the East Coast, raised in Texas.
Right. My parents moved to Dallas, I think, in 1961.
And then you moved to Alaska.
I first came to Alaska to work in the mining industry. I was working in a mineral exploration camps that were it was kind of a moving camp. We were up in the interior near Fairbanks and actually Circle and Central, and then spent some time in McGrath, time outside Healy, and some time in Ketchikan, all in a single summer.
Wow.
And that was a great experience, and then came back a couple of summers later and worked in a gold mining operation in the Kantishna Hills.
Whoa, were you actually like picking and shoveling or?
Well, it was, of course, heavy machines they use and not picks and shovels.
Sure.
But I actually was hired as the cook.
Oh, okay. That's right. I saw that. My brother was a cook, so I, was instantly impressed. When did you become interested in politics? You went to college. And you got your law degree.
Right. I think politics has always interested me. I always found that I was a history major in college. I found the classes most interesting, those that talked about kind of the political process and how events, historical events shaped and the political figures that really influenced those. And so I think from the earliest ages, from a very young age, I was always interested in politics and how decisions were made and what decisions were being made.
Mm-hmm. So how did you move from cook in the camps to assembly member and lawyer and?
Well, after the summers that I worked here in Alaska, I then went back and went to law school after that. And, of course, Alaska doesn't have a law school, and I went to University of Texas Law School. And then after graduating from law school, I worked for a federal judge for a year and then came back to Alaska.
Mm-hmm. And at that point, you were in private practice?
I started out working for the state. I worked for the public defender in Juneau and then also in Anchorage, and then have worked in a variety of different private practice settings since leaving the public defender. I was a public defender for about 3 years.
Mm-hmm. And so you've had actually now quite a few experiences in various parts of Alaska and have been here for quite a while, so probably have a good lay of the land.
One of the great pleasures of the law practice I've had has been working and representing people in a variety of different communities.
Mm-hmm.
It's brought me to representing people in Alaska, representing people in Juneau,
wow.
Sitka, representing people in the Glen Allen, people in Fairbanks, people all over. Of course, primarily in Anchorage, but the people I've represented have been from all parts of Alaska.
Okay. I want to remind our listeners, this is a live call-in show. My guest today is Acting Mayor Matt Clayman. Give us a call if you have questions. This is your chance to find out what's on his mind and what he has in mind for the coming months. Let's see. Our local number is 550-8433. That's 550 8433, or our toll free is 1-888-353-5752. And if you're listening in the evening, you cannot call in because the program has been pre-recorded. And don't forget, community forum at kska.org will also get you into the studio here. Of course, the burning question, will you be running for mayor in April?
That's certainly something that we're talking a lot at my home, and we'll make that decision certainly by the end of the month.
Mm-hmm. So that should be interesting. Let's talk about your goals now. Mayor Begich has gone off to his position in the U.S. Senate. Do you have some specific things that you want to accomplish at this time? Or?
Well, I think at the top of the list, I think that over the 5 years of Mayor Begich's administration, Anchorage has really been moving forward in a very, very positive direction. We've accomplished a lot, both in terms of business development and improving government services and improving the efficiency that we bring services to the public, and really made real steps in more open and transparent government. And so those are all very positive steps. And at the top of my list is continue moving Anchorage forward, moving ahead economically, and keep us moving in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the top of the list.
I saw that public safety, ethics, and education are some of the things that you are very interested in. And, of course, we've seen lately that last year gang violence was down a little. And, of course, we've already had a homicide this year, I guess. But do you think you can make some headway in continuing that trend? Or,
well, I certainly want to continue the trend.
It to get worse, right?
We definitely don't want it to get worse. Mm-hmm. The murder rate is down, which is a real accomplishment for the police department. Yeah, of course, the goal is that we have a year with no murders whatsoever.
Right.
Most folks would say that we probably won't get there this next year, may never get there just because of some of the difficulties with human relations, but we've made real progress, and we want to keep making that progress. And one of the key components, I think, that has worked for the police department is that we've been much more aggressive in domestic violence settings. We've taken some more aggressive postures and actions with repeat offenders. And if you can reduce domestic violence, there's a real connection mm-hmm. between domestic violence and the murder rate. It's very interesting in this country, and certainly true in Alaska and Anchorage, that the people who were murdered in the last year all knew the people who killed them.
Right.
It's not a situation where somebody comes into the house, it's a burglary in progress, they confront the person they're robbing from, and then the person is killed. They're all involving people who know one another.
Yeah.
And so if you reduce domestic violence, you should see a reduction in the murder rate.
I know policemen don't like responding to domestic violence calls because apparently they're some of the most violent. And, yeah, I mean, our whole state is pretty sad statistics in that respect. As far as education, where do you see the municipality going outside of, you know, the budget as far as having some control over that as mayor?
Well, I think that both the school board and Superintendent Como have done a really great job in the last several years in getting our education system on track and working hard to – I think the first is to increase the number of people graduating from high school.
Mm-hmm.
I know I was looking it up last night. There are some communities in the lower 48 that have a graduation rate down in the 30 percentile. And
that's incredible.
And it's unbelievably sad what kind of options folks that don't graduate from a high school have,
mm-hmm.
or the options they lose.
Right.
And so it's compared to some cities, we're certainly in better shape. I think we're in the mid-60s now in terms of high school graduation rate. But we need to get a lot better.
And I mean, heck, look at Levi Johnston, you know, that job on the slope. Turns out he didn't have his high school diploma, and because of public pressure, I think ended up leaving his job. So,
right.
Yeah, it's important. You are
listening. It's a perfect example of why you need to get a high school degree.
Mm-hmm.
If he had his high school degree, he'd still be working there.
Yep. You are listening to Community Forum on KSKA. It is a live call-in program. If you're listening in the afternoon, our number is 550-8433. My guest is Acting Mayor Matt Klayman. Give us a call if you have questions or comments. Right now we're going to go to the phones. Tom on line three, welcome to the show.
Yes, good afternoon, Mayor.
Good afternoon.
How are you going to address energy supply and conservation issues? The way I sort of see this is that the city has an inherent conflict of interest as an owner of or part owner of the Beluga gas fields, and its citizens, you know, where it would want to maximize sales and price for its gas, and its citizens require cheap gas, alternate energy sources, and conservation. And could you please explain, you know, what you could do for us with regards to challenging the export license for Cook Inlet gas and promote alternate energy development and conservation for your citizens?
Well, Tom, there were a number of questions that you've got in there, and so I'll respond to a couple of them. The first one is in terms of the Municipal Light and Power's ownership of Beluga Gas and the benefits that have come. Certainly, the Municipal Light and Power's obligation or mission is really to provide energy and electricity to Anchorage citizens at the best possible price, and I think their aggressive steps on getting gas contracts that ended up getting the gas at a much better price than was available on the market has been a huge benefit to Anchorage citizens that are in the MLNP service area. I always found it remarkable living in West Anchorage. We have some people that are in MLNP and some people who are in Chugach, and you'd have people on opposite sides of the street, one in Chugach, one in MLNP, and you'd go and ask the people on MLNP, well, how much are you paying for electricity? And they'd be paying 20% less monthly than the people from Chugach, and it was the same electricity that was running their appliances. But because MLNP had really had a lot of foresight and taken an aggressive posture in that, their customers really got that benefit. And so I certainly support those kinds of efforts to put us in a good place on the energy market for gas. Another question that you asked is trying to improve efficiencies, and I'm a real fan of trying to find energy conservation, energy savings. Two great examples that I think that had, well, actually three examples was, one, the lighting initiative to get the city lights converted from the much more fuel-using lights to more fuel-efficient lights that will save the city millions of dollars over time by getting the fuel-efficient lights. I think that's a great step and a great example. A second is that on the assembly we approved a kind of a green buildings code that requires all our public buildings and our schools, when they're designed to be more energy efficient and take the cutting edge on energy efficiency in building those. And I think those are two big examples. And then I think the other part in terms of energy conservation is really what starts at home. We've got friends in Juneau, and it was interesting the stories that they had from Juneau when their power plant went out because of the avalanche winter. And it was remarkable that the community as a whole, to avoid the cost of higher energy generation, was able to actually reduce their citywide electrical consumption by 40% or 50%. Mm-hmm. And when you talk to folks in Juneau about how did you do that, the biggest way they did that was when you walk out of the room, turn off the light.
Right.
And when you're not using the light, turn it off. And when your computer's not on, turn it off. And it's remarkable when you actually make a conscious effort to turn the lights off when you leave the room, how quickly you can save a lot of energy. And you can drive down the street and see who's making an effort to conserve and who's not. And you know, you'll go by a house, and if the house is lit up like a tree with lights, then they're not conserving a lot of energy. And if you really make an effort to turn the lights off, you can save a lot of energy. And that's both, there's things government can do, and there's also things we have to do at home.
Does this conflict with City of Lights? I mean, we have lights everywhere outside, and it's kind of been a tradition here.
The City of Lights, I don't think it is in conflict, because there's a point at which we want to be a positive place to live and people feel good about where we live. And I know when we first got going with City of Lights, and that was a real effort by by Mayor Maystrom back in the 1990s to really create this feeling of the City of Lights, that part of what they did was they did research to show just how much electricity those lights use. And what was surprising, and it surprised me, was that that the lights are actually don't use a lot of electricity. And so I think don't go overboard with the lights you put up, but but I think the lights do a lot towards positive feelings about the community, and I think it's worth investing in some of that.
Well, they certainly do a lot for my perception of the day when it's really dark out and there's a beautiful lights. But I know a lot of people. I've heard a lot of people that disagree about it, which I don't, personally, I like the lights. But I also wanted to ask you, referring back to the Chugach and the MLNP situation, we're talking about people in the same community who are customers. Is there ever a chance that the differences between the rates would level out?
Well, I think there's always a lot depends on how much they buy the gas they use to drive their turbines and whether those get equalized in one form or another. One of the steps that the Assembly has done and the Mayor has done is begin the process of creating a joint generation plant that's over off Minnesota Drive that will be a joint plant with MLNP and Chugach. And one of the benefits of that is it would have the benefit of equalizing the rates that are of the electricity that's coming from that plant. So that's one step. And the other part, it's one of the challenges of our community. If you went to anyone that makes plans for electric utilities and said, okay, let's take a community of 300,000 people, and should you have one electric utility, should you have two electric utilities, or should you have three? And the answer from any planning and any research about efficiencies would say you should have one and only one. But, of course, Anchorage grew up with three electric utilities, and so part of our challenge in the months and years ahead is trying to, I think, go down the path of gradually moving from having three utilities to hopefully have one utility, which I think will be the best way to serve the community. Now that involves a lot of turf battles amongst different utilities,
And
so I'm under no delusion that'll take time.
Probably more time than the term of acting mayor.
Doesn't mean we can't keep going forward and keeping going, heading down that path during the term of acting mayor.
You are listening to Community Forum on KSKA. It is a live call-in program if you're listening in the afternoon. Once again, our number, 550-8433. Back to the phones now. And Clay on line 10, welcome to the show.
Thank you. My question is related to the controversy there is about what Acting Mayor Klayman agreed to with the other assembly members who are interested in running for mayor before he assumed the post. And my question is, here we've got a bunch of very bright people interested in running for mayor. How did this level of confusion develop when you've got very articulate people and well-educated people coming to some level of understanding about who's going to be running for mayor and how the acting is going to be involved and so forth?
And I think you may be referring to difference of opinion with Sheila Selkrig over what happened at the Assembly. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I know these are two very well-intentioned, very bright people, and then... and then Mr. Klayman is saying, well, I haven't really made up my mind whether I'm going to run for mayor. I'm just kind of, is this like political posturing or what's going on?
Okay, well, let's just try to clarify that. What was there an agreement as far as staying on the Assembly while?
Well, I've actually answered that question many times. I actually provided a written explanation of what was agreed to and what wasn't agreed to. And I've been moving forward. I think the first point is that you're not a candidate until you file with the Alaska Public Offices Commission. And that decision to file is a serious decision. No one takes it lightly. And if you haven't filed, you can't go out and raise money. I know Dr. Selkrig has been busy doing her best to raise money in the last several months, and I've been serving on the Assembly, and now I've been serving as acting mayor and very pleased to do that. So today I'm not a candidate, and if you go to APOC, you'll find I'm not a candidate. The the discussions that took place in April before the new members were sworn in were that if, and this is the first part, was if I was a candidate in October, and that was the first question, if I was a candidate in October, and then if the four new members asked me to step down as chair, if being a candidate, then I would follow their request. Well, in October, I was not a candidate, and of course, because I wasn't a candidate, there was no request that I step down, and because of course there would be no point in me asking that question because I wasn't a candidate. Mm-hmm. And I think the most important thing to realize about that those discussions in April, and I fully recognize that we met over the course of, I don't remember if it was 2, 3, or 4 days, but there were a number of meetings that we had before the new members were sworn in. And in all those, lots of things were discussed. And so I recognize that people will have different memories of those discussions. But a big feature was that no one wanted to be in a place in which if Mark Begich won the election, that we had a bunch of gnashing of teeth and discussions about about whether there should be change in leadership. And so, but that's – I'm glad that's all behind us. I'm really pleased to be serving as acting mayor and moving ahead.
Mm-hmm. So I guess we'll know somewhere around the end of the month what your future plans are. I know the Anchorage mayor position is always a position closely watched by a lot of people in Alaska, and I'm sure we'll be hearing more about that. As far as ethics are concerned, that's another emphasis that you talk about on your website. Do you see introducing any legislation or coming forward with anything that has to do with ethics coming out of your office in the next few months? Or?
Well, I hope not. We did a massive, as the Assembly did a massive ethics rewrite, mm-hmm. Many, many pages. And, of course, the state legislature also did some work on their ethics code. And I think the reason ethics is a big concern is not because we need to pass new laws, but it's just a constant reminder that we are there to serve the public. Serve the public for what's best for the public, and it's not about individual interests. It's about the public interest, and how do we make this city the best city that it can be?
Mm-hmm. So, what is it that you think or hope you may accomplish in the next few months?
Well, there's three real big focuses that have been my focus since becoming acting mayor, and mm-hmm. the first is that public safety has got to be our top priority in terms of the services that we provide, that we really need to continue our efforts to make this city as safe as possible and continue to work with the police department and the fire department to make them very effective and make people feel safe on the streets. Yeah.
I had, there's been a lot of talk at the state level and, of course, the local level. Public safety is always a hot topic. As far as recent studies over the last few years here in the municipality, I believe that they've shown that Anchorage needs more police as far as compared to our population. Number of policemen per so many residents. Where are we with that? And I think we're on a pretty good trend during Begich's administration. Are we still continuing to do well?
We had a goal of, I think, adding 100 police officers to the total number. I don't have the sheets in front of me,
sure.
So I might have the number off. But it was to hire more police officers, 93 more.
Mm-hmm.
And we are at 87 today. And so we still have 6 more positions to go, and that when you're hiring new officers, the other thing that happens is you'll have officers retire. So it's not just hiring mm-hmm. 6 more. It's actually hiring probably about 20 more to get those full 93 positions filled, and that remains the goal, to fill those positions.
Do you see yourself making any changes within your mayoral cabinet at this point? Since you're, you know,
well, in terms of there's really five senior executives that work that serve the mayor. There's the municipal manager Mike Abbott. There's the head of community economic development Mary Jane Michael. There's the chief financial officer Sharon Weddleton. There's the municipal attorney Jim Reeves, and there's the chief of staff. And four of the five of them are still working for the municipality and very pleased to be there. And the chief of staff, David Ramser, left to become chief of staff for now Senator Begich. Mm-hmm. And I hired Patty Ginsburg to replace David Ramser as chief of staff. Mm-hmm. And I've been very, very pleased with the work Patty's already doing.
Mm-hmm. Which I should probably say at one point, and you know, we were kind of talking about it before, Patty is married, I think, to our big boss.
Right, Steve Lindbeck.
Yeah. So
she is married. They are married.
Yeah. So do you have feel comfortable having been on the assembly in working, you know, continuing your work with these people as mayor? I mean,
I feel very comfortable. When I was first elected, one of the first priorities I made was to reach out to everyone on the assembly and try to have a relationship with everyone on the assembly so that we could talk when we needed to about different issues. And we might not agree on every issue, but it was important to be able to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
And important to have a working relationship. And I have consistently done that and continue to do that as chair. I think it was actually one of the more enjoyable talks I heard in my work before serving on the assembly. I was on the Board of Governors of the State Bar Association, and I really enjoyed Chief Justice Roberts' comments that when the Supreme Court meets to discuss cases in private, they start each meeting by going around the room and shaking one another's hand.
Mm-hmm.
And they, as Justice Roberts explained, that reflects that although they may not agree, they are engaged in a common endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's to figure out the right answers. And mm-hmm. and I think that that's exactly what the assembly is doing. We're 11 people. We're engaged in a common endeavor to do the best we can for Anchorage. And I started out every assembly meeting when I was on the assembly by walking around the back and shaking everyone's hand. I kept doing that. And as long as I was on the assembly last night, because I'm no longer on the assembly, I don't think it's any longer my role to act like I'm on the assembly, because mm-hmm. I'm not. But that was something I did every meeting, and mm-hmm. people came to appreciate that.
That's interesting. So do you think that someone will are there others who hold that tradition, or do you think someone will take the mantle and fill in for you?
Well,
handshaking at the assembly to, you know, to work for the good of the people.
I see them shaking hands, and I'm always glad to see them shaking hands with one another.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the makeup of the assembly. We're at this point pretty split, and half, I don't know if you call it conservative, supposed to be nonpartisan, of course. And then, of course, there's what's described as a liberal side, which when I look at documents, that's where your name falls. How do you feel about the makeup of the assembly right now and accomplishing things with them, having been, you know, now you've got five of each, I think.
Well, I never think of them as 5-5 assembly. I always think of it as 10 members on the assembly, and they all have 10 different visions for how to move Anchorage forward. And when there were 11 of us on the assembly, it was 11 different visions on how to move Anchorage forward. And I think a perfect example is last night there was a very complicated debate they had. I think it took the better part of an hour to get through about Anchorage Water and Wastewater Utility and costs associated with connecting homes to the water utility and mm-hmm. homes that are currently on wells. And there was a very, very spirited debate. And the first there was a resolution that had been introduced by Assemblymember Debbie Osiander that would have changed some of the boundaries with regard to water, wastewater wells, and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that particular resolution, because there's only 10 folks on the assembly, and Assemblymember Elvie Gray Jackson was out of town. I think she was back in Washington for Senator Begich's inauguration. you still need six votes to pass anything. So there was a vote about whether to adopt this resolution that would change the boundaries. And there were five votes in favor and four votes against. But because you need six votes to pass, that resolution failed. And so then the next question was, should the properties be assessed the cost of connection to water, which, of course, they only have to pay when they connect. As long as their well is working fine, they never pay anything.
Mm-hmm.
But they had – the next question was, should they be assessed a certain amount upon the date they connect? And that vote passed by a vote of 7-2. And so there's a perfect example where on two closely related questions,
mm-hmm.
people came down in different ways, and the vote was – vote differed, and it reflected different visions for Anchorage.
Yeah. You are listening to Community Forum on KSKA. It is a live call-in program if you're listening in the afternoon. If you're listening in the evening, you cannot call in because the program has been pre-recorded. My guest today, Acting Mayor Matt Clayman, this is your chance to call in and ask questions or make comments. And we're about halfway through the show, so if you want to do that, you need to get to the phone. Our number is 550-8433. That's 550-8433. Or you can email at communityforum@ksKA.org. Of course, our toll-free, I think our phone bill is paid, is 1-888-353-5752. That's 1-888-353-5752. We're going to go to the phones now. And Stephen on line two, welcome to the show.
Thank you. And my question is this, Matt, or Mr. Clayman, there's an initiative, a pending initiative, that would lower the amount of income to the city by about $18 million by redefining or restructuring the tax cap. Could you give us an idea of what kind of changes would be made with $18 million less? And I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay.
That sounded remarkably like Rod McCoy. I think that with regard to this proposal, I think the first I should note is that I oppose that proposal, and I would oppose it whether I were on the assembly or as, mm-hmm. as the mayor. And the reason I oppose it is that we see in California and other places where they have done some of these tax restructuring that what happens is people realize that, say, in California they cut the property taxes, and then people suddenly realize, well, there are certain city services that folks still need. And so what then happens is, well, they add a big sales tax, and then they add a tax when you park so you can pay for parking
yeah.
lots. And what you discover is that the revenues for government don't diminish. What instead happens is they just start coming up with different ways to collect tax to do the essential services of government. And
mm-hmm.
I think that what we have in Anchorage with the existing tax cap is we have a very, very lean government that provides services at a very efficient level. There's certainly always room to improve efficiencies and find new innovations, but we provide services very effectively. And I think if you started making this kind of a mandatory reduction in the taxes that are collected, I think the first thing is there'd be a cut in services, and then the next thing is the public would start being very unhappy about the lack of services being provided. I mean, everybody wants to pay a little less in property taxes, but everybody also wanted their roads plowed yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I like my roads plowed promptly, and if people said, well, you can have a reduction or you can have the snow plows come a day later when there's a heavy snow, most people would choose the snow plows as soon as possible. So those are the challenges in terms of exactly what cuts. The question about making cuts in the budget is one that really requires a lot of careful study and working with the departments to figure out how to still provide the best services possible under
mm-hmm.
all the circumstances.
That's a good chunk of change, $18 million. What kinds of efficiencies do you see? I know that's been one thing that you've talked about is making government more efficient. And do you have some specific ideas at this point?
Well, I mean, a perfect example of where just worldwide we've been getting a lot more efficiencies has been use of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Most common thing is, where can I find information about this? And And we have invested a lot in technology and in the municipal website and making information available to the public. And we're constantly making revisions in that and improving access to government.
Mm-hmm.
And so when people have questions about how can I find something, that investment makes it easier for people to find what they need.
Okay.
And that's a perfect example of efficiencies.
Mm-hmm. You are listening to Community Forum. Give us a call if you'd like to join in, 550-8433. Acting Mayor Matt Klayman is our guest. Tim on line 7, welcome to the show.
Hi, Nellie. Thank you so much for the service your show provides Anchorage. Thank you, Mayor Klayman, for volunteering. Well, it's a job, but it's really good to have quality people as in government, and thank you for your service. I'm concerned about the public safety issue and a little bit about efficiency. The biggest safety concerns I have are mostly with traffic, and it doesn't seem like the police have enough money to even do traffic work. It's always some kind of federal grant. And when I asked the former mayor about, you know, the whole photo radar thing, he just seemed to think that was political suicide. And so I'm wondering, have we gone far enough? You know, have the roads got busy enough? Is it safe to cross a street? When can we start using some of that technology and try to create safer traffic patterns?
That's a good question.
I'm going to hang up. Thank you again.
Sure. Thank you. Well, the first place where traffic patterns we really can make a difference is actually not traffic and traffic enforcement in the world of speeding, but improving coordination between traffic signals. Because if you get on the road and you get traveling at a steady speed and you can get across town without getting stuck at a traffic light, that reduces accidents, it makes the streets safer, it has benefits for everyone.
And some drivers less grumpy.
That too.
The short-tempered ones.
And my kids will tell me sometimes when I get stuck behind a light for more than one or two cycles that I'm right in there with the grumpiest.
Mm-hmm.
The photo radar, it's a perfect example of technology that is very effective that really causes the public to lose support for their government. And we are there to serve the public and provide leadership. And so I think part of the message about driving at slower speeds has starting to have impact around the city. Another thing that is, it really isn't high technology, but the willingness to put speed bumps into neighborhoods to make force cars to drive slower has been very embraced by the Begich administration. It's certainly something I support. We've seen a number of speed bumps get put in our neighborhood, and it has had the effect of slowing the cars down. And so these are several things that can really help. Another feature that has helped in terms of pedestrians is sidewalk clearing. We've got more – there's still plenty of sidewalks that don't get cleared, but we've made real progress on clearing more sidewalks and building more sidewalks with new road construction projects to make it better for pedestrians and bicyclists.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if the caller knows, but I'm somebody that bicycles a lot. When I was at the assembly meeting last night, when I arrived, one of the folks there said – you were the first assembly chair to come to an assembly meeting on a bicycle. Mm. Are you going to be the first mayor to come to an assembly meeting on a bicycle? And I said, probably.
In regards to traffic, wasn't there a legal opinion about photo radar? What was that opinion?
I don't remember any legal opinion, but I remember just as a matter of public relations, the public was just incredibly unhappy
with photo radar.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that. I vaguely remember the huge uproar about that. It certainly was noisy. What about planning? It seems like we talk about planning a lot. I know there are a number of planning documents out there. I know there has been discussion about, well, you know, we do all this planning, but what about all the work that's already been done, and is this new information conflicting with planning documents that we already have? Where are you when it comes to planning?
Well, city planning is a dynamic process. We we keep having to plan for the future and have a vision for the future.
And things change, too. And situations
exactly.
change.
Things change as you move along. You think you're going to build a building in one location, and then for whatever reason, that building doesn't get built, and that impacts things. I mean, a perfect example, downtown plans, and 10 years ago, we didn't have a convention center. Well, now we have a convention center that is a great building, a great facility, and it's part of a real positive vision for Anchorage in the future and building towards that future. And now we have the convention center, and so there's a reasonable question we now need to ask. How does that convention center change decisions we make about downtown Anchorage? Should we take steps to make sure that a lot of the great things about that convention center are protected? And I know that's a topic of discussion today is, should we protect the view looking south from the new convention center, or could we build a new office building or hotel right behind it that would block the view? And and that's a topic that there's a the answer is yes or no, but how do you get to that? This requires really public participation, and it doesn't mean it means you had a plan, but it means you've got to see how that plan should change given changing circumstances. But that doesn't mean we don't keep planning for the future. You have to keep planning for the future.
Speaking of planning for the future, what is up with Lake Otis and Tudor right now? Is there...
There's construction that I think is going to be underway this summer.
To widen...
It's a widen and make some additional turn lanes and hopefully keep the traffic moving more smoothly and with less congestion.
I noticed there's been a lot of work up Tudor, particularly where a lot of people turn into the Alaska Native Medical Center off of, what's it called now?
Elmore.
Yes, Elmore. That turn lane used to take forever sometimes, and now there are two turn lanes. So there have been some changes been going on there, it seems like, to make things a little quicker.
And the going from one lane to two lanes for turning was a perfect example of the original plan didn't have that second lane, and then they opened the first lane, and everyone said, oh, my gosh, what are we going to do now? We don't have a Lake Otter and Tudor problem. Now we have a Tudor and Elmore problem.
Yeah.
And when we were able, again, to respond very rapidly, and, I mean, not overnight, but in terms of construction and road construction, it was very rapid.
Yeah, I actually use that quite a bit. And to get here, and but I also notice, you know, you've got the police station coming out of the other side of it, too, so... That's a heavily used intersection, whether people know it or not.
And that was part of the program in terms of Lake Otis and Tudor was to get that Elmore Road connection opened up, which would relieve some of the traffic that's trying to get south and north that wouldn't have to go all the way back down to Lake Otis.
Do we have some big road projects coming up next this coming year that will make some changes in traffic patterns?
I know one of the ones that's under discussion that's I think will be up in front of the assembly in the next several weeks is 9th Avenue. We're modifying some of 9th Avenue.
As far as?
Moving it more to the three-lane type configuration that you'll see on 15th.
Getting things to move a little faster.
A little fast, both a little bit. Well, I'm not sure faster, but more smoothly with less stopping and starting. I've been very impressed. 15th Avenue, which has been a project that started back in the 90s in Fairview when Mayor Maystrom was working on that and Mayor Begich continued that. That was always a road when you went down when it was four lanes all the way through. You'd start driving. You kept getting stopped and stopped and stopped. And I got to where I almost never used it. And I've discovered in the last couple of years after the work was done more on the western side as well as the area right in Fairview that traffic moves very smoothly along 15th. And that's a product of changing some of the engineering and the layout for the roads. And so that's the same goal for 9th is to go more to a three-lane configuration that will actually be better for drivers and better for pedestrians.
What about Spinard? I noticed that there are some Spinardians that are not happy about, wait a minute, Spinardarians or people who live in Spinard concerned that, you know, there's been some complaints about the way Arctic was redone and they're worried about Spinard now. Do you know what the plan is at this point for Spinard?
Well, there's certainly some planning recommendations that would make portions of Spinard a three-lane road, portions of it a four-lane road, put some dividers in, and generally improve the walking areas along Spinard.
Mm-hmm.
The Spinard topic is very, very hotly contested or hotly argued. I think the majority, although certainly not all, many of the businesses along Spinard are very concerned that mm-hmm. going to a three-lane configuration will really hurt their business. And then my sense is the majority of the people, the residents who live in the area, would really like to see a three-lane configuration because they think it'll improve pedestrian access and make it a friendlier neighborhood. And I always joke, well, the real answer is to make it five lanes. But unfortunately, that would mean tearing some buildings down, and mm-hmm. and that really wouldn't be a meaningful alternative. So it's something that I think we have to keep talking with the community and looking at the alternatives. And really, if we're going to go forward to more of a three-lane configuration for portions and put in medians, that we really need to engage the community and provide good assurances that when we do it, it's going to work out well when we're finished.
I think, you know, one of the complaints that I've heard was that it took so long to complete Arctic. And I know, you know, they were trying to use it at the same time that they were, you know, working on it. But it did seem to drag on and on forever. Are there any did it actually take longer than originally planned, or?
I'm not sure whether it was longer or longer than planned, but it sure took a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that length of construction at Spinard would not be acceptable to anyone. So I think that's a key. Mm-hmm. And there's going to come a day, whether it's next summer or 2 years or 5 years, there's going to come a day when we're going to have to do something
yep.
with Spinard because the road's pretty worn out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a key is that whatever we do, we need to do it efficiently and quickly so that businesses are not interrupted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very important. An email question from Todd. What are the future plans to address the Eagle River bottlenecks?
And I'm not sure. I guess I'm not sure which bottlenecks he's talking about. Certainly in terms of the Glen Highway, the Glen Highway is really much more of a state funding and a state construction issue. And in terms of Eagle River bottlenecks, I know that we've got a real plan in terms of an Eagle River Town Center that we've bought. We've got a building that we're remodeling to add a library and more of a town center. And certainly I think that's very positive for Eagle River, but I'd actually need a little more detail on the question about which bottlenecks to be able to respond.
Okay, Todd, you have about 10 minutes to clarify that. Let's see. I wanted to talk a little bit about cold weather. We're in the midst of very cold temperatures across the state. Are there special things that the Muni might be doing at this point to help protect people from situations of the cold, or are we having to pay attention to other things because of the cold?
Well, it certainly we're always worried when it gets cold like this about people having warm places to stay, and we don't want people living on the streets and in camps, and my sense is that when it really gets cold like this, people who might be living in camps have moved into the shelters, and
mm-hmm.
so I think that's very positive. We're certainly some of the efforts as needed for some heating assistance, I think, is, again, that's more of a state program than a city program, but I think that also is moving forward.
Mm-hmm. As far as police now, I think, if I'm correct, there is a new academy coming up, isn't there? A police training academy?
Target for April. No, May.
Okay.
May.
So maybe when you come back again later, we'll be looking at more police on the street and be able to talk a little more about what's been happening with public safety over the course of the next few months. What kinds of things are we gearing up for? There must be, Mayor Begich must have said, you know, in this handoff that in the spring, you know, I really have to focus on, you know, these things to get the municipality geared up for summer. Are you looking at that?
Well, it's the biggest topic on that. We'll be looking at a bond package here in the next few weeks. And
For the April election,
proposing road bonds and public safety bonds for the April election. And that's certainly something that's looking ahead for the summer.
And do we get a sneak peek? Do we know what some of those are going to be? Or
Ask me in a few weeks.
Okay, fine. The economy has been really bad, of course, in the United States. It's something people are talking about every day. We talked a little bit about the new convention center. We have a lot of new hotels in Anchorage. Do you think that the economy is going to impact our visitation at all, or do we have any inkling?
Well, the impacts of the national economy on our local economy is that's really the second big focus for my administration is what are the impacts and how are we best going to address those impacts? And we're working to get a clear picture about how we'll be impacted. And then once we've identified the level of the impact, then we'll figure out how to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
We've already seen that in terms of the Municipality of Anchorage Trust Fund, that just because of lower interest rates, we've lost interest in that fund, and so that's reduced how much money is available in that fund to fund city government. So that's an example where we're already seeing an impact, and we'll be addressing that in the next several weeks. In tourism, the early statistics indicate that tourism will be down this summer from last summer, but it's hard to say whether that will prove to be the case once mm-hmm. May arrives and we get into the tourist season, because I think there's a lot of people throughout the country that are trying to assess where can they afford to go for vacation this coming summer. And I think some folks that might not have been scheduling things in December might decide they can afford to take some trips mm-hmm. as the year goes on.
Well, it seems like although we still are among the highest in the nation for fuel, the price has been dropping. So maybe that'll encourage people to get out a little more. No, who knows?
I certainly hope so.
We'll see about that. You mentioned the trust fund shortfall that's used to fund city government. Do you have an idea of numbers right now? And are you already looking at scaling back some services, eliminating some?
I don't have an idea of numbers today, but I've been meeting with the chief financial officer and the city manager and the head of the Office of Management and Budget, and we've been talking about it and gathering information.
Mm-hmm.
So we're certainly looking at it, and we'll be getting more information out to the public here in the near future.
So I would imagine this would be something that you and the Assembly would be addressing over the course of the next month or so, or?
Well, it's, you know, the Assembly approved a budget in November.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next time that the Assembly actually takes action on the budget is first quarter budget revisions in late April. So that really at this point, it's something the administration needs to look at. And if we believe there are steps that need to be taken, it's our responsibility to take the necessary steps and do that in a fiscally responsible manner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we both have to exercise, be smart in how we spend the taxpayers' money, but we also have to keep an eye on the future and make sure that we are prepared and ready to move forward and invest in the future.
Mm-hmm. One thing relating to public safety that and I'm not sure if this is primarily a state thing or not, but someone had asked in a previous program about the crime lab. And I know that the state and I think the feds may have had a little to do with that in the past, but apparently it's outdated. And is this something that's come up in a topic of discussion at the Muni level?
There's been a lot of discussion between the state of Alaska and the municipality, because the state crime lab is certainly getting, if not fully outdated, certainly getting outdated, and the use has gone up. And so we need a new crime lab. And so there's discussions going on between the city and the state about a crime lab and where to put the new crime lab and how big it should be. It's an interesting to note that somewhere between 60% and 70% of the crime lab business is brought to them by the Anchorage Police Department.
Mm-hmm.
So we're a big user of the crime lab. And so there really is very much a collaborative relationship between mm-hmm. the state crime lab and the Anchorage police and the city of Anchorage.
Yeah. Well, I think probably you have, you know, access, the Anchorage police have more access to a complex. I mean, I can't imagine a VPSO, you know, pulling out his little CSI kit and, you know, I think probably pretty limited use of the local guys in the bush as compared to the sophistication of our police.
I think there's that. And we really are very interested in keeping the crime lab in Anchorage.
Mm-hmm.
Partly because we're the biggest user of the crime lab, and partly just from a standpoint of government efficiency. If the state put the crime lab in the Kenai or up in Mat-Su, all the state agencies would be incurring a whole lot more money getting evidence to the crime lab. And as the biggest user of the crime lab, it makes sense to keep that close, keep that in Anchorage.
Is there talk of moving it?
I think that the state had at one point looked at both the Kenai and the Mat-Su, and I think after some looking, they're moving ahead toward to have a new crime lab in Anchorage.
Mm-hmm. And then getting back to the economy issue, I had heard recent reports that we have indeed in Anchorage have had car dealers and others, you know, having difficulty at this time. Have any met with you, or have any private business people approached you about dealing with the situation at this point?
Not from the automobile industry. Certainly, I've had many people talk with me about concerns about how our economy is doing locally and mm-hmm. and how we're doing relative to the national economy. Most of the indicators continue to show that we're in much better shape than the rest of the country.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good place to be to weather the economic challenges ahead.
And I guess in getting ready to wrap up, what are your, you know, hopes and dreams for the municipality as far as the next couple of months, your biggest?
Well, I think the biggest two things is not lose sight of our commitment to public safety, and we're just going to be working to identify the economic issues and address those in an effective way.
Mm-hmm. And I certainly want to remind our listeners that and hopefully you'll be back periodically, but in the past, you know, the mayor has have come in and updated on us on what's happening in the Muni, so hopefully we can continue that.
I'm always happy to come back.
Well, I want to thank you very much for being here today, Acting Mayor Matt Clayman. I guess we'll probably be hearing a lot more from Lynn Anderson and our reporters on what's happening at the Assembly and at the Mayor's office. So.
Well, I really appreciate the chance to come in. It's been a nice visit on a cold afternoon.
Yeah, really. The roads are a little slick with the cold temperatures, I noticed. That I had to, like, stop speeding so much. Drive with precaution. Anyway, I wanted to thank everybody for tuning in today. I hope you had a good and productive holiday. Be sure and tune in next week. We'll be talking about some interesting changes that are going to be happening at the state fish and game level, and we'll have some information to get out to the public that about that. So tune in next week. I'll see you then, and please be careful out there. See you.
Forum is a production of KSKA's News and Public Affairs Department. If you have questions or comments concerning this program, write to us, KSKA 3877 University Drive, Anchorage, Alaska 99508, or email us at communityforum@kska.org. Additional information on today's show topic, including relevant website links, will be posted along with audio of today's program on our website at kska.org/communityforum. CD copies can be purchased by calling 550-8400 during regular business hours. This is KSKA, Anchorage.